It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka. And you guys, this podcast is, oh my gosh, we have Journey Smollett from this really, like, we geek over this show all the time. It's Lovecraft Country. It's on HBO. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys, when I say that this is a show that you can truly say that you've never seen before, I think that in all sense of the show, it's something that's super unique.
Never been done. The never. Wonderful Misha Green.
There's all these themes of
sci-fi. Yeah.
Context. There's sci-fi. There's, you know, we talk about
horror.
It's amazing how Misha Green, who's developed this and writes and directs it, it's amazing how she put all of these elements together and made it work. And made it work so well.
Yeah. And then, like, if you're not watching it and you're listening to this podcast, who are you?
If you need a show to watch during your lockdown, or that show, it needs to be top of your list. It's really good. And obviously, we've seen Journey in a lot of things.
And a lot.
A big one. Dino, you were a huge fan of that show.
Yeah. And Underground.
Yeah. Underground.
Gone Too Soon.
Gone Too Soon. That was one of my favorite shows. She did Ease Bio, which is one of her first starring roles.
And I forgot that she mentioned in the podcast that she was on True Blood. I forgot that she was on True Blood. Yeah, she's True done Blood. It all. Yeah.
She's done so many things.
Birds of Prey.
Yeah. And you guys, she's such a gem. Like, she said, like, I just, her energy was infectious. I'm so glad we had her on. This show is amazing. I highly encourage everybody to watch it. She said the season finale, we're all going to be left in shock.
Yeah, which is this Sunday, y'all.
Sunday, yeah.
So tune in, yeah.
Yeah, so without further ado, here is Journey.
I was just saying to Misha that it's like, this is so strange. She just finished the show, like, on my birthday a week ago. Mm-hmm. She just finished.
Oh, happy birthday!
Thank you. And we had to do an interview, and we were saying, like, it's gonna be so strange for us when it's over, you know. Yeah. Like the live tweeting, and, you know, I definitely had a feeling the other day, like, oh, I miss being on the Lovecraft Country set.
So do you guys get to watch the episodes before we do on Sundays? Or do you all watch
Not anymore. They had sent like the first five. And I didn't watch it. I wanted to see it with everybody and stuff like that. I watched the pilot. I did watch the pilot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've been watching it in real time with everybody, which has been...
That's good.
I mean, you see it a little bit when you're doing ADR.
Right.
You know, but it's like,
But not like all pieced together.
The music and the...
I definitely want to talk about Lovecraft.
Yeah, we really want to talk about Lovecraft. We are stands of this show.
Before we get there, Journey, you've been in this business for a long time. We've seen you from Underground, which is another amazing show that never should have got canceled. I say that all the time. I love that show. Ease Bayou. There's just so cool.
Friday Night Lights.
We've seen you in so many things, and it's just been such a joy watching you. So for you, what is your earliest memory of performing, and who were some of the people you looked up to growing up in your career?
Oh, yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, some of my earliest memory is performing. It's mm-hmm. like being on set. I remember doing a Cheerios commercial. That's probably the earliest thing I can remember. Because it was the first time I had my mother to myself. Mm. Like, we flew down to shoot it in Florida, in Orlando, Florida. And I remember being so excited that it was just going to be me and mommy. Like, normally I have to share her with all my siblings and stuff. But honestly, just growing up, I grew up in such an artistic home, you know, all of my siblings, my mom, you know, even my dad, everyone was creative in some way or another. And art and leaning into creativity was heavily encouraged in my family, not as like, oh, this has to be your profession. And that's the blessing that I benefited from, is my mother wasn't a stage mom. She wasn't mm-hmm. the type of mother who pressured me to do it. It was like a hobby for us. Mm-hmm. You know, like some kids play baseball and their parents mm-hmm. put them in Little League because they've taken an interest in it. So mm-hmm. with us, it was the same way. We took an interest in it, so she allowed us to do it. And then with some of us, it didn't stick, you know, not everyone wanted to stay doing it. With me, it wasn't until I did Use Bayou that I knew, oh, I actually love this. Mm. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. There was something in doing that movie, playing Eve, being mentored by Samuel Jackson and, you know, yeah. being directed by Casey Lemons and watching Casey, you know, who was the captain of our ship, the way she would work with Amy Vinson, our DP, and all the heads of department, but also the way we really dove into the character. You know, it was the first time I think I understood the craft, mm. you know. And I think when you understand the craft, that's when yeah. you open the channels for the love, right? Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. I fell in love with it during that project.
What have you say sort of for you being in this business? What can you say has been a big change from when you first started out, or even, you know, when you had a good 10 years behind your belt as compared to now, and maybe the type of roles that you're getting, or the type of roles that you're seeing your peers getting, and like even the what is it called, the not the call sheet, but the description that when they have the
breakdowns.
Yeah, the breakdowns. Like, you seen a big difference in like what, you know, sort of how the breakdowns looked back then versus how they look now?
Yeah.
I wouldn't categorize it as a big difference. I have seen difference. I have seen change for sure. You know, I am no longer being told by my agents that, oh, they're not willing to go ethnic on that role. I mean, that was something that I would hear all the time growing up when I would chase after these really rich characters. And it was a thing of where I couldn't even get in the door. Right? Like, the director wouldn't even meet with me simply because they weren't willing to quote unquote open the role up, is how they, you know, say it. I don't hear that term as frequent. Not to say I won't ever hear it again. I'm sure I still will. But it's become definitely more of a taboo thing. Like, they'll hide it. You know, they'll make excuses. They'll say other things are the reason why. I think in general, the one thing it's difficult for people to understand, my very early memories were of people like Casey Lemons and Amy Vincent being in these positions of director, cinematographer, writer, producer, you know. So for me, what is actually typical in Hollywood was very abnormal for me. Mm. As I got older, it was like, wait, so it's very much so a white male gaze. That's not what I grew up, you know, being accustomed to. I worked with the greats, you know, I was spoiled. Some of my earliest films were opposite Angela Bassett or Denzel Washington directing me in Great Debaters, or, you know, like, and so in my 20s, I very much so, no, even before then, I became a little jaded, honestly, in wanting to kind of quit, because it just felt like the stories they want to tell and the stories that they want, you know, to tell with folks that look like me just are not very interesting. Mm-hmm. The main shift that I've seen is that there are more Caseys. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more folks behind the camera. There's more Amy Vincent. There's more folks like a Denzel who are saying, listen, we want to see our stories told. No one's going to tell them but us. So we got to do it, you know? And so when I see a Jordan Peele or a Misha Green or an Ava DuVernay, a Gina Prince Bythewood, you know, what I see, I May Destroy You is fucking brilliant, okay? Like, she is a goddess.
Years with all the content that we're getting from Black female creators right now.
Even this weekend alone, there are three films coming out by women of color. There's 40-year-old version, there's Time, and then there's Yellow Rose. And it's just amazing. Yeah.
It's incredible. And that's the shift I'm seeing. So it's not really coming from inside Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's coming from outside Hollywood, in which people are saying enough is enough and we are not asking for permission anymore. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, I've been incredibly spoiled over the past few years to work with female creatives, you know, whether it was on Birds of Prey or Underground or Lovecraft Country with Misha for the second time. You know, it's been so refreshing to widen the gaze, you know, for so long it's been the cis straight white male gaze, you know, that we've been limited to. And there's just so many people who are coming again from outside Hollywood and just busting open the door. So that's the main shift I'm seeing.
Mm. Well, you just pretty much answered the rest of the questions. Serious. It's like, because when you were talking, I was all, oh, she answered that already. Okay, but we'll elaborate on that. But you know, I remember seeing you first, you know, Full House, and I was all, ooh, this is going to be fun. And just kind of seeing your journey. Oh, you get it.
Just never heard that before.
I know. I'm original. it was just so interesting seeing like you grow into this like really great actor, and I was just like seeing. I was like, oh, it's that girl from Full House. Like seeing you one after another, seeing these roles, and once I saw you on Friday Night Lights, and me and Amanda are both from Texas, so. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I went to a high
school, right?
Yeah, he shot in Austin.
I was in school. I was in UT when you guys were shooting it. I remember a couple my friends would go down to Pflugerville to be extras, like be cheerleaders. Oh,
They still have tours for Friday Night Light tours, like to go, you know, see the houses, see the stadium, and
wow.
You know, I just remember watching that and crying at every single episode, mm-hmm. just because of how amazing it is. But, you know, and you have Ease by You, then you have Birds of Prey, Lovecraft Country, you have all this, like, this very, like, diverse resume. But throughout your career, was there one point where you said, where there was a role or a project where you were like, oh, wow, this is the kind of actor I want to be? Like, what was there a certain moment that informed your, I guess, actor identity,
approach,
I guess
you would say,
your approach? Yeah.
I would say the biggest, I mean, for sure, it's been a collection, you know, over the years. It's been some, okay, part of knowing what you want is knowing what you don't want, you know, and I know I did that, don't want to do that anymore. You know, or, I think for me, yeah, it's been a blessing to work with incredible filmmakers, creatives, and actors, you know, working on Friday Night Lights and being encouraged by Jason Tatum to improvise. Like, we improvised every scene. We didn't rehearse. You know, we shot 12 pages every day. The cameras would just go up and we'd go, you know, and every take was different and fresh and exciting. And doing that with a Kyle Chandler or, you know, Jesse Plemons or Mike, you know, Michael B.
That you guys have all gone since that
I know.
Yes. Yeah, so it's but to be encouraged to trust your instincts, right? I would say the biggest actor impact on my craft for sure was being directed by Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, great debaters. There are things that he taught me when we were working that I still use in my approach, in my craft. I mean, he pushed me so hard and yet was also such a great cheerleader. It was this beautiful combination of inserting this real belief in me and also challenging me to grow. And, you know, I would say for sure he's had such an influence on me and my approach. But same thing with Sam, you know, and I've been fortunate to kind of have like a little village of artists and activists who have poured into me. You know, Alfrey Woodard is like a godmother to me. And, you know, there's been moments I can just call her and talk through a character, you know, and it's such a blessing to have folks like that. Cause that was my college, you know, like growing up on sets or having these mentors, like my teachers. I've since, you know, made more of an effort to study the craft as much as I could. You know, working with Cicely Tyson, you know, I did a play with her before I did Underground. We did Trip to Bountiful at the Amazon here in LA and then traveled to Boston. I mean, it was like taking a master class. Just, you know, it truly was. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it did. I mean, it's like, but like you pretty much answered again all the questions we had. because I was gonna ask about your mentors, but you kind of always forget who, you know, we have guests on the show and you're like, who they have worked with. And, you know, we're like, oh yeah, they worked with them. Especially with, you know, you mentioned Friday Night Lights, which was just like, that was just like a hotbed of talent. And it was just everyone there. And I always said, I remember when I was watching Friday Night Lights, I was all, I wish Coach Taylor would always give me a pep talk every morning. Or I wish Tammy, like, I think Tammy and Coach Taylor, they were like the ideal kind of TV mom and dad, or like, I just that show just did so much for me. But yeah, you've worked with these amazing, amazing people, you know, and, you know, is there anyone left? You know, you're pretty much.
I want to ask you, just because like we talked about this, and I like sort of hearing these stories about people of color in this industry and sort of how they've navigated it, especially for women of color. Well, this industry is very problematic for us. I mean, a lot of people, but I'm just speaking to us specifically right now. How have you navigated this through this industry throughout the years? And what do you know now that you would have told? You would have loved to told or somebody have to tell you whenever you were coming up?
Yes, I mean, this industry is quite problematic for women of color. You know, Stacey Smith, who runs the Annenberg.
Yes.
She does the work. Mm-hmm. She's such a force and I love her. She's a close friend of mine. You know, the data is there to show how at every step, this industry continuously fails women of color at every level, whether it's, you know, at the executive level and the ability to green light films, or whether it's, you know, department heads or writer, director, or in front of the camera. I mean, the numbers are abysmal, you know, and I think one of her studies talks about from 2007 to 2019, over the top 1,300 films, 1%, I believe, were directed by women of color.
By women, yes.
I mean, that is like abysmal, you know, when you think about it. Navigating it, I think I've had to have this indomitable spirit, you know, like that's in my DNA. You know, that's what I come from. I come from strong Black women. My mother, my grandmother on my mom's side, you know, aunties. It's just who I am. That's my blood memory, right? You know, I have no other choice but to get up and face the world. And even when the world wants to erase me, I still am going to face the world, you know? And so it's not easy, you know? It's not easy for us. I've, again, been lucky because I've had a tribe of folks that I can call and, you know, they'll pick me up when I'm down or when I feel discouraged. You know, that's quite important to be able to have folks, you know, who have done it before me. You know, when I look at what Alfrey has done, I mean, the body of work of an Alfrey Woodard, you know, is unparalleled. You know, I mean, I hold Alfrey up in my book of like, oh, the greats. Alfrey's right there with Al Pacino. You know, like she's just, her craft is just incredible. And so it's been a lot of me learning from those who have come before me and driven by the ability to just want to do what hasn't been done yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I love storytelling. I'm such a fan of it. And I just want to see our stories told. We are complex human beings, you know? And so I'm driven every morning to wake up and attempt, you know, to fight this beast.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? It like, I always go back to that conversation that we had with Dawn Porter, about how, like, you know, people of color, especially women of color, wake up every morning and it's like, oh, what battle are we going to fight today?
Yeah.
You know, and like, what do we have to face today? And, you know, and it's just refreshing to hear that. Okay, so let's talk about the matter at hand, Lovecraft Country, which combines like everything I love about, you know, I'm a sci-fi geeky comic book person, love, you know, things, you know, involving social justice, people of color, and just love action adventure kind of things. But when you even first read or got approached or, you know, about this project and read the script, what were your thoughts? Because I could only imagine, because there's a lot that happens in the pilot. Yeah. So were you like, but how, what was your like kind of initial reaction when you read it?
Well, Underground had just, season two had just aired and then was abruptly canceled after having been like, you know, a critical success and honestly one of WGN's highest programming.
Yes.
You know, like
no sense. It made no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
And they were actively trying to find a home for season three, but it wasn't looking good. And I was, for the first time in my career, fielding all these offers from like top showrunners in the business, like from the day the show was canceled, you know. And it was a whirlwind for me, because on one hand I was excited that, oh, okay, I mean, people want me to do stuff, this is cool, you know. But then on the other hand, I felt this real desire to top Underground. Like if I was going to do more TV and take time away from doing film, it just had to be different and bold and audacious and just make me grow. Mm-hmm. And so I was sending Misha a few of the scripts. You know, she was acting like my fifth silent agent. And everything I'd send her, she'd be like, "Nah, Journey, it's trash. You can't do it. It's a pass. It's a no. It's a no." I was like, "Are you sure? I mean, this is like, this person won an Emmy? And yeah. No, it's trash."
We all need friends like that.
Yeah, we know. They got your back. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she sent me the script for Lovecraft Country, and I was aware of her developing it with Jordan and JJ. But she didn't send it to me as an offer. And there was no mention that, hey, there's a character in this that you could maybe write for. I mean, it was just like, hey, so this is, you know, I finally finished it. You know, let me know what you think. And I read it, and I'm first, you know, first of all, I'm like, oh, I just miss her writing. Like, her writing is so unique and specific, and I missed it. Then second, when Letty comes in, I was like, hi, what's the problem? Who is she? And I was just so instantly drawn to who this woman was. And as the script continued, it was this combination of obsession and dread, where it was like, wait, so I have to play her, and why has Misha not mentioned the fact that I have to play her, you know? And I literally, after reading it, you know, weeks went by, days, months even, I was losing sleep over this role and wondering why Misha wasn't like talking to me about this character, you know, why wasn't she offering it to me? And it was very odd to me. I mean, we were still talking about other projects.
Yeah.
And she was still being Miss Agent and still saying, no, you got to pass on this. And I'm thinking, this heifer literally has something that would be perfect for me, but we aren't talking about this. And it became this real weird, like, unspoken thing.
Yeah.
So I went and read the book. You know, I started researching it, being like, okay, when the time comes for them to cast this, I might, you know, this might be a thing I got to earn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in JJ's office. 5 months has passed. I've entered the office.
Well, that's a long time.
It's a long ass time. And he says to me, he's like, did you read the script for Lovecraft Country? Like, yeah, man. He says, what do you think about it? I'm like, it's incredible. Misha's writing. He's like, it's so good, right? And he says, you should do it. And I say, yeah, I should do it. I mean, but what's going on? Like, Misha hasn't talked to me about it or anything like that. And I start like having a nervous breakdown in his office. And he just kind of casually says, you should do it. I'm like, dude, you don't have to convince me that I need to do it. Like, I think no one else can play this role.
You gotta tell me one.
Like, listen, when I tell you who gonna play it? Like, the conversation ends with him just again saying, you should do it. So,
so they're just like leaving you kind of like, they're like, oh yeah, like very cash, like super cash.
But no, still Misha has not mentioned it. So weeks go by and she calls me and she's like, so we just hired this dope director, Yann Demange. You know, I need you to sit down and meet with him. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, bye. And she hangs up the phone. And, you know, as it goes, I sat down with Yann, we hit it off. And then, they offered it to me.
Did she know did she know that she was going to offer it to you the whole time?
Was she just teasing you?
Here's the thing. She said to me, what she was struggling with is she felt that, no one can do this but Journey. But it was a number of things. She was still trying to get a home for season 3 of Underground and wasn't really ready to let go of that. And then also was kind of struggling with this thing of like, well, is she going to be known as the person that only works with this person? And I'm like, Misha, there's a reason why some people continuously work with each other.
Yeah.
You know? It's called synergy, you know? It's called chemistry. I don't know.
I mean, for real. Yeah.
And plus, a lot of people work with the same directors.
Like, look at Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy has a whole universe.
There's endless amount of people, directors, you know, who she's look, she's past that right now. Okay. Like we're beyond that.
What was it about Letty though? The character that you wanted to embody so much, so badly.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched the show, right? I mean, there was a number of things. It was just, she's a tornado, you know? She's this woman who's quite disruptive and you know, she's a wild woman in a time that wouldn't allow her to be her true, full, whole self. And I just was so drawn to someone who is in pursuit of that in spite of an era and a time that wants to erase her. You know, I could relate to her on so many levels. You know, she suffers from this feeling of displacement, you know? And like so many Black Americans, you know, it comes as this great shock when you find out, like James Baldwin talks about, that America, that this place that you call your birthplace hasn't evolved a place for you, you know? She's quite, you know, bold and audacious, but also so flawed. Letty is so flawed, you know. And the opportunity, but it was a great challenge to be able to inspect her contradictions. You know, to inspect this woman, she's grasping for life. She's seeking to be liberated and rejects this idea that feminine, as it was defined in 1955, should be passive. You know, should be weak, and yet she has her weak moments, she has her vulnerabilities. She's just so, and she remind me a lot of my grandmother, who I never met, who was nicknamed Showtime because supposedly she could show you a good time. She was the first Black Miss Galveston,
and that's funny too.
and this beauty queen who raised you know, a few things could have been different and Letty would have had the same path as my grandmother. My grandmother, you know, raised four kids as a single mother in the 1950s. Think about how taboo that was alone, right? And this beauty queen who would go to work every day cleaning the homes of white folks, which interestingly enough, Letty in the pilot says she's not gonna do. And she wouldn't allow these families to rob her of her dignity. And I grew up hearing these stories of my grandmother, whom I never met, you know, who would go to work with her hair and makeup done and put such attention to the details of how she looked and how she behaved and speaking proper in her home. You know, she would not allow my mother, my aunt and uncles to say y'all or to say ain't, or like grammar was so important, and to be well-read was so important, education was so important, and knowing your history was so important. Like, essentially, my grandmother was a rebel, and her way of rebelling was to say, you won't rob me of my integrity, of my dignity, and my pursuit of education. I mean, she was the first woman in her family to own a home, you know, clean homes of white folks. She was able to buy herself a home, you know. And so that dignity, that spirit of dignity is something that's in my blood, you know. So when I read this Letty's story, it literally made my blood memory start to vibrate. You know, that's you know, my teacher, one of my teachers talks about the blood memory that flows through my veins. I'm, my mother's Black, my father's Jewish, so I've got plenty of it. and I have a real connection to my ancestors and their oppression, but also their very radical pursuit of their joy. You know, and that's one of the things I love so much about Lovecraft, is it's not just about our oppression. It is about our love. It is about our fight to be joyous. It is about our times when we throw parties and we barbecue and we are well-read and we love science fiction and, you know, our struggles and our demons. And it's about so much more than just the oppression.
I mean, this show, I mean, I'm just like, I get so excited every Sunday because as press, we get the episodes beforehand, but I have refused to watch the episodes because I want to watch it with the audience, because I think they gave us the last episode, or I'm not sure, I may be wrong, but because I saw it in my inbox, but I'm like, oh no, don't send me that. Don't send me that shit. I want to watch it. And it's kind of cool because we've had Jonathan on on the podcast, who's so great. And then we had Victoria Mahoney on.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And then I was like watching her episode without, because I knew she directed an episode, but I didn't know which one it was. And then it was the Indiana Jones one, the one, like, and then I was all, I bet you Victoria directed this one. And I was all, oh, I was right.
Wow.
That episode was so fun. I want to ask you, you know, this is emotionally, physically demanding. You run, you cry, you swim, you lemonade some cars, you have blood splattered on you, you scream at imaginary monsters, you get angry, and sometimes that's all in one scene. But how do you even like go into that? Do you just kind of like, oh, here we go, like how is that just doing? Because it's such a demand, not just for you, but every single cast member. And that's what I like about this show, is that like every single cast member has this time.
And, yeah, really rich stories.
Yeah, but do you just like pass out at the end of the day? What's the deal there?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, there for sure have been moments where I pass out at the end of the day. You know, and not to exaggerate it, it's very true. I mean, this role, this project, it cost me a lot, you know. It definitely made me have to bring a lot to the offer, a lot to the altar, you know. It requires that you offer every aspect of your instrument, you know. You know, that's just the brilliance of Misha's writing, of this text, you know. It's very sacred for us. And I know the entire cast feels the same way that I do, that we approach this with such reverence because it's so personal for us. Mm-hmm. You know, these stories are, you know, while the details might be different, it was very cathartic for me, but also forced me to go to places in my life, very dark places, in order to channel the truth. You know, that's what it is. It's like, yeah, some of these scenes you're asked to do this, and then you're asked to do this, you have to do this, but really all you have to do is just focus on the truth. Mm-hmm. What's the truth that I'm telling right now? You know, that's my target, right? Mm-hmm. And so being used as a vessel to tell these stories, it's quite an honor. It really is, as an artist, because you feel, yes, you go home thoroughly worn out, mm-hmm. you know, on a scrap heap, just used up, feeling like you've got no more to give. And yet the next morning you wake up so damn excited to go back and give more. That's all I can say. It cost me a lot, you know.
And I think I felt that everyone on that cast is having such a good time doing mm-hmm. what they're doing. Even not good time, like even the bad stuff, but like they're loving what they're doing, especially this past episode, this Sunday episode with the twins dancing. I had trouble sleeping. I swear,
When I tell you though, the finale, nine and ten, y'all. And then when I think about what Misha has done in 10, it's wrong. Actually, it's quite cruel. You know, I mean. Where she's taking everyone with your emotions, I apologize in advance.
you have to give us a tease. Like
all I can say is I literally did ADR for the finale, for one of the final scenes of 10. In ADR, I mean, I was in tears.
Okay, so we're gonna cry. Well,
I hope they make it longer than an hour because I'm gonna need time.
No, because like every episode, I'm all yes. What do they have? What kind of adventure are they gonna take us on this time? Because that's what, and I think what they did with this show is nothing short of incredible, and it's the best show of the year for real.
What can you, since you can't give it away, use one word to describe the finale.
Yeah, one word.
Shocking.
Okay.
Oh my God! I don't even know why.
It's like a, it's so unbelievable that she went there, that you're just shocked, it's disbelief, that it's just, that's all it is. Like, you just kind of finish it being like, there's no way that she did that. Yeah, and yet
my
ma'am,
my body is ready. We are ready.
I told Misha, I was like, people are either going to just love you, I mean, just love you as a creative, or hate you. There's no in between.
I love her. I mean, like, well, this episode's gonna come out the Tuesday before the finale. Our listeners will be ready.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't think they're gonna be ready.
I mean, I'm not ready every day. Like, I wasn't ready for Jamie Chung to be this sex monster. I was like, what?
Me too. I was like, what?
I was just like, oh, Jamie's, because I thought, because when they said Jamie Chung was in the show, I was like, oh, she was in the beginning. I didn't know there was like this whole thing, sex monster. Oh, I was so like, good. What is going on?
So good. I mean, the show has so many layers to it. It's actually, I mean, I don't even know if you guys are able to keep all the storylines like together. Just so many, there's so many layers to it.
But it's done so well. Yeah, it's done so well.
I wanna ask you, because I think like we've been using this term, like something that you've never, you know, people are saying this has never been done before, or they're working on a project that's never, but I feel like we've sort of been using that term lightly or loosely. I kind of, with this project, I think you can really truly say nobody has really done anything like this before for television or for film. What Misha has accomplished is beyond. And I obviously broke a glass ceiling, you know, hopefully opening the doors for other story people, storytellers, or people that want to tell stories like this to come through. But for you, what have you taken away from working on such a profound project, especially in a space that that's usually been dominant? Like, we've usually been dominant. What? How do you say that word? I can't say that.
Dominated.
Word. Dominated. I was like, I lost that. I don't know. I couldn't say that word. It's usually been dominated by cis white males.
Like the genre, especially.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's quite radical, because not only is the structure of the show quite disruptive, and you know, I feel like she has deconstructed this classic genre and then reimagined it in this bold and audacious way. She centered Black voices in it, you know, Black voices, Black safety. I mean, essentially the most horrific thing in the show is the fact that Black safety is so fragile, you know, and how the systemic racism in this nation that the nation has been built upon, and the fact it's yet to be dismantled, is so terrorizing, you know, it's so terrible. And yet it's inspired, you know, this book, everything, it's quite, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know that we can look to another comp and say, right, oh, that's what this show is.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And she's got such a gift for maintaining varying degrees and tones and genres, because essentially, to me, in my mind, this is a family drama.
it is. If you take out the scary stuff and the sex monster, it's a family drama.
And like the ghosts exorcising, yeah, you know, the exorcism in the house. Yeah. Mm. Essentially, it's about folks in search of family, in search of protecting family, trying to create family, protecting family, hiding secrets from family. I mean, the relationship stuff, honestly, for me, is what gets me so excited about the show. And then you add all these other crazy elements, and it is quite radical. I don't know what she got left in her. What story is there left to tell, you know? She truly is a genius, though. Like, she's a mad scientist. Mm.
Yes, and it shows so much. I mean, it's just, I cannot stop singing the praise. And I'm not just saying that because you're our guest. I mean, this is, like, legitimately, and the time that it's coming out, I mean, I don't know if they planned it. It's like, it's just so, I feel like it is empowering in this way.
Yeah, and I think so.
And there are just these moments when I look and, you know, I start crying. And then, like, there's also, like, so many queer storylines in there. And it speaks on so many levels. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, I'm like, oh, okay, you got some Asian in there. That's fine. But I absolutely adore it. And if we could have every single cast member on this podcast, we would.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Would.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I would love to, like, just talk to y'all for like 8 hours.
Can I tell you like, something though? We all became such a family, you know, while shooting. And I think because the text required, and it was very demanding for us, it was a very demanding shoot in general, we really all hung on to each other for dear life. I mean, I don't know how I would have gotten through this shoot without Michael K. Williams and Jonathan Majors. I mean, when I tell you the bond that we had, you know, the rituals that we created, whether it was, you know, praying every morning, or before each take. I mean, it didn't matter where we were entering from, or before each take, we had to give each other a fist bump.
Nice.
Was a ritual that Uncle George started on the pilot that Courtney B. Vance started with Jonathan and I. And it was just a thing of like, hey, a way to ground ourselves and look each other in the eye and just connect, like physically just touch and it was the unspoken words of, you know, I got you. Yeah. Got me. I got you. And we're going to do this. And it was beautiful, just so beautiful to have that sort of bond. Yeah. And I think you can feel it through the work. You know, I think it comes across. Yeah. And the level of trust that we had with each other, all of us as cast members, you know, to be able to go to these places, whether you're playing on the same team or not, like, you got to have trust.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be able to look in that person's eyes and one, know that you're hearing the truth, that they're capable of speaking the truth, and you got to know that you can trust them. Right.
I know it's kind of it's based on the, you know, a book and everything, but the popularity I feel is so strong. Do you even think that there can be another season of this after what we are going to witness in the final episode?
I mean, it would be so wrong to folks the way episode 10 ends to not another season.
Okay, then.
I'll just say that. But listen, you know, it's not up to me. It's up to the suits.
Yeah.
Well, we make things happen here, me and Amanda.
We'll let the suits know.
We're gonna go to them. Listen.
So we have finale, which is next week, which I cannot wait.
I cannot wait.
What else do you have coming up for you, Journey, that you can share with us today?
I am leaving this country.
Forever?
No, I'm going to shoot Spiderhead in Australia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
With Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller. It's this Joe Kaczynski film for Netflix.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And yeah, I'm excited. You know, it's definitely a crazy, wild project. Yeah. Me and Miles, we both play inmates. Mm-hmm. In this facility that is run by Chris Hemsworth's character.
Okay.
So, you know,
You're going to Australia, which is doing better than us.
Listen,
are you excited to get out?
Right. The reason they're doing better is they don't play. I mean, when I land, my son and I are gonna, and everyone else on the airplane, like, you know, are gonna be escorted by the National Guard, the Army, and the local police to a hotel in which we have to check in and stay at for 14 days and cannot leave the room.
Exactly. And that's how it should be. And there's a bunch of like friends of mine who are filming right now, and they're doing the same exact thing, whether it's in Vancouver, Australia, or whatever. But here we're just like, oh, ooh, we got to have brunch.
Not brunch. Don't be having brunch, please, y'all.
So we like to sort of end and wrap up with this section, a segment we call the facts or the FAQs, just like random questions that we ask. So your first question, if your family and friends could call you out on a bad habit of yours, what would it be?
Ooh, leaving the butter out.
Well, that helps though, right? Butter. Because it softens it, right?
That's what I say, okay? Yeah. But growing up, I was always told, Journey, you left the butter out again.
Oh, it's like every time they see the butter out, they already automatically know it's
they already know. Like, that's Journey. Like,
I always have issues with butter because when you take it out of the fridge and you want to spread it on toast, it's so hard.
It's hard. Yeah. And then if you try to use it, like I'll use the stick sometimes on the actual toast, and then I'll be told, Journey, there's crumbs on the butter. And I'm like, well, I can't win. What do you want me to do?
So this is a new question that I've been asking for the last couple of episodes. So one has to go: Beyonce, J-Lo, Rihanna, or Janet Jackson.
One has to go.
Anyone but them.
Okay. You could plead the fifth, or you could add someone to take out.
Okay. I'm in pain right now. Okay, add somebody. We gotta add somebody.
But then who can we add to take out?
Who could we add? You know, we could add someone.
I don't know. Well, you know, you could plead the fifth because we asked Michelle Buteau and she refused to answer.
It's because it's literally blasphemy.
It's really hard, yeah.
It's blasphemous. Well,
yeah. We did have Eva Nobelzada, who is star of Yellow Rose, and she had a quick answer.
J-Lo.
She said J-Lo. Sorry, J-Lo. She saw no shade, but J-Lo. Okay. Okay. You can plead the fifth. Okay, you plead the fifth. Okay.
It's meant to be a very hard question, so yeah. We can really answer. Okay, next question. Do you have any rational fear, and if so, what is it?
An irrational fear?
Yeah,
or an irrational.
Irrational.
No, I don't. I like most of my fears are like the supernatural, you know, or but I'm not easily scared, honestly.
Okay.
I'm a G, just so you know. I gave birth here in my home in the bathtub.
You are. Don't mess the journey.
She ain't ever scared. Yes.
So since it's like Halloween season, what is your favorite horror movie of all time?
Funny fact, my son was born on Halloween. One of the first ones I ever saw was Silence of the Lambs.
That one is scary.
It was scary. I was 10 when I saw it. So
okay, 10 years old watching Silence of the Lambs.
I mean, yeah. He's also just one of my favorite actors of all time, as is Jodie Foster. But Hannibal's just like one of the greatest characters.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he freaked me out.
Like his tongue. I mean, there's real small things that he does.
Very subtle.
You don't even pick up on in the first viewing of it. Like he has like a slithering tongue sometimes. It's just like, what the hell is this man doing?
And I remember at the end of that movie, I was scared that he would like, you know, they show him like wherever he was. Like, I don't know where he was, like talking to Jodie Foster. I was like, oh my God, he's in our neighborhood. I was like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like that's the person you don't want to see knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. Okay. Would you rather only be able to use a fork, no spoon, or only be able to use a spoon, no fork for the rest of your life?
A fork.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how would you eat cereal with a fork?
Absolutely. Because then you could drink cereal.
Yeah, you're right.
Most but it's like if I'm eating a steak.
Okay, yeah, you can't cut it with a spoon.
I'm picking this steak up right now.
You're gonna scoop up some steak with a spoon.
How am I doing this? Help me.
Okay. Our final question, we ask this to all of our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, creator, storyteller, that is not in the mainstream that you think people need to know about and deserves more recognition and shine? You could list multiple. One,
there's so many. Yeah. There's so many that I'm a fan of that I don't know that I would classify it as underrepresented or that people don't know about. I mean, I guess there are so many that I'm excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, that too.
I'm really excited to see, I liked Atlantix. I'm excited to see what Maddie does next. I love Maggie Betts. I'm excited to see, you know, what work comes out of her. I'm a fan of Angela Robinson, who's also one of my good friends. I worked with her on True Blood, and I loved Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. And
yes.
Me too.
Angela. I love that movie too. Yes.
I Angela's, she's the OG, like she's a veteran. So that's why it's like, you know, she's not underrepresented, but I would love to see
more time.
She's more shine.
She does.
And in the genre space, she's really gifted too. So there's a lot of voices. There's I'm excited for Nia. I mean, she's certainly not, you know, everybody's
so excited.
I can't wait to see Candyman.
Yeah. Oh my God. Really, that trailer, when it first came out, I was just like all leaning in so much. I was like, yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then there's like actors, you know, I love Dawn Fishback, you know, she's very talented. One of her earlier movies that she did that Jordana directed.
It was at Sundance. I remember that.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, I just remember seeing it being like, this girl is the truth, you know. And she totally held her own with Jamie Foxx, which is not easy because Jamie is a G. Jamie can bring it, okay? There's so many I'm a fan of.
Shout
out to all those people that you just mentioned.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This was such a lovely, lovely conversation.
Yes. Thank congratulations on this.
A great
career, but you know, in even this show, I'm like, amazing. I cannot stop with this show. Like I cannot, I love it so much. Yeah. I love it. And if you don't, then get out of here.
What's wrong with you?
Do you have like a favorite theme from the show? Because there's a lot of themes on this show. Is there one that really stands out to you?
The story is so ancestral, you know, it's very ancient. And so this idea of our heroes going on a quest to bring down white supremacy is so dope to me. You know, this idea that really the magic they're engaged in, it's like a spiritual warfare, you know, against white supremacy. And that's one of the themes that I eat up, you know.
Amazing. Cool. Well, we cannot wait.
Cool. We can't wait. Can't wait. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Could we take like one screenshot real quick?
Sure.
So yeah, just like act like just smile at the camera, I guess. Okay. This is so weird. I'm sorry. I mean, usually when we were in studio, we would take a picture, but you know.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But hopefully, we'll see you in person soon. Good luck, and we love you.
Yeah.
Stay well. Stay away from brunches.
Travel.
Stay away from brunches.
Thank you again.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.